In the name of Jesus, amen. According to religious research, people in our area who do not go to church often say that the church is too judgmental. And we can safely assume here that the objection is not to positive judgments. If we only handed out positive judgments and affirmations of lifestyle choices, I doubt that anyone would object to such positive judgments. Well, tonight would seem to be one of those times when such negative judgment is apparent. In the narthex, we have a booklet that you can pick up with the Ten Commandments and reflections on it to prepare you for confession and absolution and for communion, that asks you questions on the basis of each commandment to help you reflect on your sins. But there we see judgment. And then in our rite of corporate confession and absolution, we spoke of God's wrath, that we should fear it, and declared that when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. We make that blanket statement, that blanket judgment about what we're going to find when we examine the Word of God. This is another negative judgment. And then in our Old Testament reading, we heard Jonah telling the people that God's judgment was coming upon them, that in 40 days Nineveh would be overthrown. Again, judgment, negative judgment. And the most unique aspect of today's service is also, it would seem, judgmental. We put black ashes on your foreheads and tell you that you are dust and to dust you shall return. We proclaim the judgment that things are so bad that you're going to die, that you are dust, and you're going to return to the dust. This is judgment, isn't it? Over and over again, we're declaring, we're saying again and again, that something is wrong with people, with us, with everyone. No wonder people might call the church judgmental. But hold on just a minute. Is this judgment really such a bad thing? Aren't there places and times where judgment has to be spoken for our good and for the good of others? Let's consider two scenarios where we accept judgment and we consider it good. A civil judge at the courthouse in Bluffton has to render a judgment as to what the law says and to how it is and how it is to be applied in specific situations. The judge should not be accused of being judgmental. He must accurately interpret and apply the judgment that the law already lays down regarding what is acceptable or not acceptable in our state, our community, our nation. He should be rendering judgments for the good of all those in our area. And we should pray for such judges that they do their work faithfully and that they do render good and faithful judgments. But this isn't the only example where we accept and we pray for, and we should pray for, good judgments. A doctor also renders judgments. A doctor examines you, tests you, observes your symptoms, and then, we hope, renders a judgment about what sort of disease you might have and a judgment about how it should be treated. And he also does this for the good of people, for your good, for our good. If he makes the judgment that you have cancer, you probably won't accuse him of being judgmental. We wouldn't respond by saying, "How dare you accuse me?" Even though he has made a very serious judgment and said something is very seriously wrong with you, that you have a problem. Instead, you'd probably respond to that judgment by saying, "Well, what's next? How are we going to treat the problem? How are we going to address it?" You move on from the judgment to the solution. And notice especially in this second example that judgment isn't the end. The judgment is given with the hope and expectation that the problem with the person can be fixed. The disease can be treated. The cancer can be destroyed. If we accept that judgment is good and right and salutary, necessary, in the previous two cases, with a judge and with a doctor, then what about in the church? After all, when God's church, redeemed by Christ, given His word, offers a judgment, we should not be speaking our own judgment, our own personal opinion. We speak the judgment that God has given us to speak. Just as in our Old Testament reading, Jonah spoke to the people of Nineveh and gave them the message that he hadn't made up, but the message that God gave him to speak. And it was a message of judgment, that Nineveh would be overthrown because of their evil ways and the rejection of the Lord. The Christian church today is given to speak the word of God, including what it says about sin. And it's this sin that lies at the root of both crime, the crime that judges judge, and the disease that doctors judge. It's because of a sinful nature that a person breaks the law and a judge must render a judgment in court. It's because of sin and its corruption that our bodies, which are dust and which are heading toward dust, get cancer and viruses and infections, and about which doctors have to render judgments. Here in the church, we are speaking the word of God, who is over all things. We are speaking His judgment and identifying the real problem behind all of the other problems that everyone else makes judgments about. And so we really do need, in fact, we need this judgment more than we need any other judgment. We need the accurate, right judgment of God. Judges at the courthouse can get it wrong. Your doctor can get it wrong when they issue judgments. But our Lord's judgment, the Lord who sees our hearts, who made us, who created us, who knows us, He doesn't get it wrong when He speaks His word. He knows what is an accurate and correct judgment of our situation. And He diagnoses it, He judges it correctly. And the problem behind all of it, the problem with us, with every single person, is sin. And we won't address this fundamental problem with a drug or a pill or a surgery. You must address it with only one solution. And it's good news that the one true God has given us a solution. That He does desire to be merciful, to forgive sin. And we saw that in our Old Testament reading. God did not send Jonah to the people of Nineveh because He wanted to destroy them. If God had simply wanted to destroy them and did not want to have mercy on the people of Nineveh, then He would not have sent Jonah to them. He would have just washed His hands of them and destroyed them. But God desired to have mercy on the people of Nineveh, and He sent Jonah to them so that they would repent and believe in Him. The fact that God sent this message of judgment, this faithful message that sounds so terrible, is a reminder that God desires to have mercy because He wants them to repent. And the same is true for us today. The fact that the Christian church speaks God's word of judgment is not because God wants to destroy us, because God desires that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He speaks His word of law that judges our sin because He desires to give us His forgiveness. And He desires us to see our sin, to reflect on it, as we did again and again in the hymns and the readings and the prayers already today. He wants us to see the gravity and the greatness of our sin. As we sang in our last hymn, though great our sin, greater still is the mercy of God. Our Lord wants to be merciful to us and to pour out upon us the forgiveness that was won for us on the cross because of Christ's death in our place. There, he wants us to see that the judgment of God was laid down on all our sin. There it was declared that our sin was truly terrible because the only one who could pay for it was the Son of God. And so when we feel judged because of our sin, when we see our guilt, we should look to the Son of God and say, "But it has been paid for." When other people, it would seem, recognize our sin and point out our failings, we can simply acknowledge them and say, "Yes, I am a sinner, but I have a Savior. And He has been punished in my place. The judgment of God, the punishment that I deserve for the judgment that God has rendered against my sin, that punishment has been fully and totally laid on Jesus Christ. And I can go free. And so I need not fear the judgment of a judge or a doctor or anyone else, because my Lord has paid for my sin. And I come here today and I receive the very body and blood that was shed to pay for it. And I do not need to fear that judgment, but I can run to the cross and run to the supper where the benefits of that cross are given out to receive the forgiveness of all my sins. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.